Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Suddenly go quiet. Good to see you all. Nice to have, I was going to say, the Cape and Ray students back after their weekend away. Pam, of course, was with us last week. But did you have a good time, you three?
Yeah, it was good.
Excellent. Excellent. We're pleased also to welcome another Cape and Ray connection. Mark Thomas is back with us today and will be doing the talk later, which will be illustrated. That's why I'm over here and we've got the gubbins down there. Let's just have a word of prayer now, shall we? But not for that yet. Father, we just thank you. Lord, it's such a privilege to be able to come together and enjoy fellowship with one another, and especially with you, Lord. How amazing it is that God Almighty, maker of the heavens and earth, should come to be with us by his Holy Spirit. Lord, now I'm lost for words. I probably should be, Father. It's just fantastic that you choose to come and be with us, to relate to us. So, Father, we thank you that you are here with us today. We ask that by your Holy Spirit you would guide us in this service. Father, we want to bless you with our worship. We know we haven't got the greatest voices in the universe, but, Father, we want to worship you from our hearts. We want to give you worship from our love, and we ask that you would accept it and be blessed by it, Father. And we want to hear from you, Lord. We want to learn more of you. We want to become more like Jesus, so that we really can be a light in the darkness. So, Father, we ask, touch us this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Marion's going to bring us our first reading this morning, which is from Psalm 19. That's Psalm 19 on page 552.
Towards the end of this psalm, there's lots of things that say me and my. And that's you and your, not just me and my. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They're sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant from the willful sins. May they not rule over me. then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Amen.
Tremendous psalm, isn't it? I think it would be good to declare together our faith in the words of the Creed, which you can find at the back of the hymn books, at the top of the left-hand page at the back. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, and descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. In case anybody's wondering, the use of the word Catholic there is not denominational. It kind of means the universal church. That is, the church made up of all those who truly love Jesus Christ. That is the Catholic Church. I guess it's an old use of the word these days. We're going to have a short reading now from Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, which is on page 1201. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. This is the word of the Lord. Mark.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's very good to see you again.
It's good to see you too.
Thank you very much. I was hoping you'd come along from last time I was here, so I appreciate that. That's great. Before I turn to the word and put a few lines on the screen, greetings from a young man who is related to me. He's been here. He was here a few times, I think, many moons ago. But I have a brother whose name is Andy. Do you recall that man?
Yes.
He was here, he left here, 15 months ago now, so I was in touch with him yesterday, and he sends his greetings to everybody, so I said I was coming here, and I think he lit up and said, oh good, and so he sends his greetings to you, so I appreciate that. Very good. Well, I have a question for you. Can you understand me? At the moment so far, because I haven't said a lot, have I? Let me just ask you about these Yeah?
Good day.
Hello.
Same name then.
Yeah, you know, you're all linguists because they mean almost the same thing, but they come from different places. Hmong is actually a Sudanese language. How about this one? Anybody know that? Some strange people who live across.
George.
Danish?
Greek?
You can read that well, can't you?
Chinese?
Dutch?
Italian?
Somebody said it? Swiss? Anybody know where that comes from? No, actually, it's the Canadians say A after everything, don't they, most of them? And then we have this one. It's Yorkshire, or Lancashire, or Cumbria, somewhere like that. How many languages are there in the world? Anybody have an idea? Approximately. 12? No, that's just a start. If we went through them all, we'd be here all morning. I mean, all day, all night. How many languages? Anybody get a guess?
10,000.
10,000. Actually, it's about 6,500. Which is quite a few, isn't it? And that's probably only the ones that are known. There'll be some that are unknown. Well, what language does God speak?
Love.
He must surely, if he's a good communicator, and we understand he's the best communicator in the world, and outside the world, he must be able to speak everything. There is a language that he speaks, and you'll see as we read Psalm 19, it's a great psalm, isn't it? What came across through that psalm? The language that even the English, and it's not in the Hebrew, even in English, what did it say? It spoke of the wonder of creation. And it spoke because it said, it uses the word speech, doesn't it? Right throughout there. It's a great psalm. And then speaks of the word and what it does. Old Testament, very clear, but we see with the seeing, hearing of the eye, as it were, that which is around us, which is magnificent. Yeah? I can see you're really excited about the fact of creation. Even in the rain across this land that we have, but the beauty and colours, even of autumn, are fantastic, aren't they? Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 to 4 says, and we read it, or Chris read it for us, and what does it say in Hebrews 1, 1 to 4? God spoke in many ways through the prophets, so he spoke in many ways, many times, but, he says, in these last days, are we in the last days?
Yes.
Have we been in the last days for quite a long time?
What?
We have, haven't we? A couple of thousand years. So God speaks in many ways. He speaks every language. Let me ask you about a language. I'm a North Lancashire lad. I have nothing against Cumbria at all. In fact, went to school in Westmoreland, which some of you will remember. And in Cumbria, and yet in Lancashire, or even if we went down the road this way, slightly south, you come across where the motorway engages with the 65, and there's an auction market there, isn't there? And if you were in that auction market, and the other day I saw sheep coming out of their wagons, if you were in the auction market and went into a sale where there's some sheep, you would probably see a group of people around a man standing at the front in a brown or white coat, and he's got a hammer in his hand, or they don't all have hammers in the hand, but these men and women around the arena are doing something. They're probably, some of them are doing this, leaning on their what? Crooks or sticks or whatever it might be, and they're listening to the man up front. And the man up front is saying some things. Yes. He's saying, welcome these sheep. And if you wouldn't mind, I want to get you warmed up here. When I say sheep, what do sheep say? Yeah, that's amazing. You just sound like it. That's good. So when I say sheep, you just go, right? So, the auctioneer welcomes the sheep in with enthusiasm. And they come right into the arena. They wonder what they've come into. And they look around. They see all these people around the arena looking down upon the sheep. That's right. And then the auctioneer says, these are sheep from... Okay, you can carry on if you want to. You don't have to. And then they say they're the best. They come from the fells, and they tell us which fells they're from. Say, all right, who's going to start the bidding? And they go, 1, 2, 50, 50, 50. Any advance on 50? No, 40. We'll go down to 40, 40. Any advance on 40, 40, 45, 50, 50, 60. And for some reason, he goes, excuse me, up to 70, 70. And then he goes, what on earth makes him able to go from 40 to 70? Well, you know what's happening around that arena, don't you? There's a fellow going. You ever been to an auction?
Aye.
And you say that, you buy the sheep if you say aye. So something's happening in that arena because that auctioneer standing there is looking around and he's actually hearing a voice. And there you go, finally, to Chris. He buys them all because he's just gone. So we've got a language.
He twitched.
He twitched, that's it. If you, this morning, by the time 12 o'clock comes, are sitting there and you're going, I think I get the message. Some might be more surreptitious. I know some in class at Cape and Rego, because they're looking back at the clock. There are some people who, you know, when they preach or they speak, they're all over the place, aren't they? And they'll lean and they'll make all kinds of... I was taking my son years ago when he was on his way. Well, we were on our way to the bus, to get the bus. I was driving to the bus and it was the same route every morning when I was able to take him. And then a gentleman used to drive on that same route and he was coming to a part just past us, between Overkellet, which is the village near where I live, and Camry. And he would drive, and on the seat, passenger seat by him was a dog. As he drove, I would think, well, I need to get to know this man. I see him every day, or whenever I'm there. I would go, and he wouldn't do a thing. One day it happened. Driving along, my son here, he with his dog, and I went, and he went. And I said to my son, did you see that? He said, hello. What do we call? Because this morning when you came in here, you were speaking a language which we all understand. What do we call it? Yes?
Friendship.
What do we call the language I've been talking about? Let me try again. Do you remember when you first met her, you guys? And you looked at her. Was there some kind of communication? What kind of communication do you call it? We call it a language, it's called body language. We all have body language, don't we? Don't you communicate to people when you look at them? We communicate so quickly and so easily with a language. It's called body language. That auctioneer, when he looked out, that's body language. A language we can all understand. And I don't know, you've heard many sermons since I was last here, but in that passage of Hebrews chapter 10, it says something which we referred to last time in reference to Christ. And it's this. Christ did not have what Jesus needed, but Jesus got what Christ now has. Can you work that one out? That's odd, isn't it? Christ did not have what Jesus needed, but Jesus got what Christ now has. Christ, before he came into the world, existed as a part of the Trinity, part of God. Is he not?
Yes.
But he didn't have something that he needed to be here. What was it?
A body.
A body. Has Christ got a body now?
Yes.
Yes. So he got what he never had. Can you imagine? Now, to my mind, that's amazing. Because he was given a gift. We're going to celebrate Christmas soon, aren't we? Because we celebrate the eternal God taking upon himself, what? The form of a man. Now, if we think creation is remarkable, where God formed man out of the dust of the earth, and then he himself put his life into man, is that amazing? Can we understand it? Can we follow it? It's very difficult. A lot of argument about it. But what an amazing miracle and mystery that the eternal God, who is invisible, can do what? Take the form of a man. That mystery? Miracle? I should say. And we know, and I said this from Psalm 40, it tells us there, the translation into the New Testament in Hebrews 10 is, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you gave to me. A body you gave to me. So, it's a language you can all understand, isn't it? Body language. We know it. It's encouraging to see you smile every now and then. Don't keep smiling, it hurt your face perhaps, but you know what I mean? We communicate. A language you can all understand, because a gift you give to Christ, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. And we talked about that in reference to the will of God last time. Now, body language. It's a language that God speaks. It's a language we'll get there eventually, that can speak louder than words, because it makes the invisible God visible. There are several verses that we could look at with regard to that. And if we were to go back to Psalm 40, I'll just remind you of what it says. It speaks of the lips, it speaks of the eyes, it speaks of the heart. They're all parts of our body. And we know we communicate visually. And this is a language then that God spoke, and he continues to speak, as we'll see. It's really fantastic when you think about it. When we go to the book of Psalms, it says, a different translation than we have in the New Testament, it says, my ears have you opened. He's got open ears, this psalmist. It also says in there, my heart's all yours. I thrill with your law, because your law is in my heart. That isn't just to mean to say the do's and don'ts, but the law speaks of something remarkable. It speaks of the very character of God. God expressed himself through Moses by giving the children of Israel the law. And we know that the psalmist says, I've got your law in my heart. We also read in verse 3 or 2 of chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews, which we read this morning. He is the exact representation of God. My lips, says Psalm 40, are availed to speak of your righteousness, faithfulness, salvation, love and truth. Now what does, as we said last time, what does the writer do? He takes, by the permission and work of the Holy Spirit, the very words of the Old Testament and puts them into the mouth of Christ as Jesus. And we recognize that in Jesus is a heart that's filled with the character of God. And the lips that speak clearly of who he is. Of ears that listen to every word that comes from God, his Father. Right? So it gives him the authority, the quality to speak, to be a language that can be seen and understood. It makes God, who's invisible, is God invisible? Anybody seen him, at least recently? It makes it very plain in the scriptures. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, has made him known. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 18. An invisible God. Does God communicate well? Absolutely. We look at in creation, we see, fantastic. Ah, it's been broken, and we know why. We recognize that he spoke through the prophets and he's spoken through the word of the Old Testament. But he says in the last days, he's spoken something that can never be almost expanded upon. It's complete, it's full, it's done. Beautiful. And we can look into his face as we read the word. So, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. That's an odd phrase, isn't it? No, it's an odd sentence. If anyone's seen me, he's seen the Father. But God's invisible. And that's the wonder of then the presence of Jesus. Well, a language that often goes unheard. Does the language of Jesus often go unheard? In fact, it's rejected. But why are we here this morning? Because he's spoken clearly. Because the one who speaks is not recognized. If you turn to the book of John chapter 1, you'll find in there these words, I'll put it up for you. The world did not recognize him, his own did not receive him. John chapter 1. We recognize that the Lord Jesus came. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Who were his own? What's it make reference to in John chapter 1? He came to Israel. They didn't recognize him. If you don't recognize somebody, you don't receive them, do you? Have you walked along the street and you've seen somebody across the street, and what do you do when you see them? Very simple, you probably wave. Well, hi, morning! Can't stop now! You know, you have a conversation. Or you just wave. I was walking along the strand of Alexandria in Egypt. Hot midday, and you know that mad dogs and Englishmen in the midday sun. And this gentleman was coming, and there was nobody else on the strand there. He was coming towards me, and you know, you get that, oh, I think I know. He looks like somebody I know. Yeah, it can't be. As I got closer to him, I think he was thinking the same thing because he recognized me. I says, it can't be. We got closer and closer. And then we almost at the both at the same time, I called his name out, Adri, and he called my name out. And what did we do? Pass each other? No. He got a hold of me, we gave each other a big hug. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? He's Dutch, I'm English. We knew each other, but in the middle of Alexandria in Egypt, no way. But we recognized each other. And what do we do then? We received one another. The tragedy, we know, is what happened to Jesus. He wasn't recognized. And he became rejected. But many received, we know. The world did not recognize him, but it's the language that has the last word. And we see that from the book of Hebrews, as we said, because nothing else can be said. We cannot add. Can we add further to the Lord Jesus Christ? Not a word. He's the final word. He's everything we need to know that God can give and bring and say. So why don't we go to him more often to hear what God has to say? He's given us his word. Did the disciples struggle with his word? Yeah, they did. Take Peter, for instance. Let me explain, said the Lord Jesus to Peter, now that you know that I am, and flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. Now, let me say, I'm going to be beaten, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to be crucified and raised from the dead. What did Peter say? No way. See, he didn't really recognize. And he couldn't receive fully. Did he one day? Completely. Well, as we know, in these last days he's spoken to us by his Son. God has spoken as clear as crystal, as we say, hasn't he? Yeah, creation, remarkable. Yes, we have the Word. He spoke to the prophets, visions and dreams and all kinds of things. Finally, he spoke it in a way we can all understand. Because he's completely identified himself with us, his creation. Is that amazing? It's fantastic, really. Well, we'll come there somewhere. What does God's language express? Love. Anything else? We could read through the scriptures and see through the person of Jesus many, many things that the language, that this language expresses. Very simply, a couple of things from the Gospel of John. It expresses God's character, the person of Jesus. If you turn to John chapter 12, verse 44 and 45, and this is one of many things that we can say, that this language that God has spoken expresses. It says in John chapter 12, "Then Jesus cried out, 'When a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in the darkness.'" So as we would take the whole of the scriptures, we recognize, what does Jesus do? He tells us all about God. Doesn't he? What God's like? Does God get angry? Yes. Did Jesus get angry?
Yes.
Does he get angry like we get angry? Not normally. So we see, and you can read through the scriptures and see the way the Lord Jesus dealt with people, looked at people. That's how God does it. Because it's the expression of God. You think when Jesus stopped under the tree with Zacchaeus up that tree, he looked up to Zacchaeus, and because Zacchaeus was so shocked, I think he nearly fell out of the tree. "He'll look at me." What did he say to the woman at the well? What did he say to the Pharisees? "You whitewashed walls." What did he do when he went into the temple and they were exchanging money and doing all? What did he do? He turned the tables over. What did he say in the parables he spoke? Hard words. Honest and truthful, but never ever lacking what? Compassion. What did he do when the rich man said, "I can't handle that," and walked off? What had Jesus done? It says he looked at him with love. We see the heart of God expressed so clearly. He speaks a language we can all understand. And we know that because we speak it all the time. How we react to people. How we look into people's eyes. How we deflect our eyes from people. Or if we don't like someone, what do? We give them that. All kinds of things. God clearly has spoken. The character of God. Then Jesus cried out, "When he believes in me," and we read the verse. And we would go back to the Old Testament and see how God presented himself through Moses on Mount Sinai. And Jesus had done it all. It's in his heart. It says that. Psalm 40. "Your law is in my heart." And the law speaks of the character of God. God's purpose through the presence of Jesus. There are many verses that talk about God's purpose, but this one I think is lovely. "I have come into the world as a," what? "Light in the darkness." Didn't Jesus say that? One of the I Ams? "I am the light of the world. I've come to give light, to shine light in a dark place." And therefore we can read in 2 Corinthians, the light has shone in our hearts, that we might recognize who God is, what He's like. God's purpose then, through the presence of Jesus, light in a dark world. I've come into this world as light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. And so we join together this morning, do we not, in saying thank you. That we can walk in the light as He is in the light. And one day, as Revelation says, there's no need for light. He is the light of the temple. Well, what does God's language express? Who is to speak God's language today? What would be the answer to that question?
We are.
We are. Who said that? The church as Christ's body on earth. Is that right?
Yes.
What is the church?
Christ's body.
God's people. That could probably take some time to talk about too. It's God's people. But the church as Christ's body on earth. So we have those other scriptures that were, and He is head of the body, the church. Where's Christ's body now? Has Christ got a body?
Yes.
Yeah. How many bodies does He have?
It's physical, one earth church.
He's got two, hasn't He? That's strange. Has He got His own, which is in heaven? Is He seated at the right hand of the Father now? Yes. Does He have a body?
Yes.
You're not convinced, are you? When the angel said to the apostles, He'll come back in exactly the same way. Will He be visible when He comes back? Yes. What did Stephen say when he was martyred? I see Jesus. He's got a body, hasn't He? Did Saul see Jesus? Yes. Not a vision, not an apparition. He saw Jesus. Are we going to see Jesus?
Yes.
Now you're more convinced now.
Yes.
When we see Him, we shall be
like him.
So, He's got a body in heaven, but He's got a body on earth. And guess what? You and we're part of it. The church. So we have this passage in 1 Corinthians. We are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, Cumbrian or Lancastrian, German or Canadian, French or Chinese, and there are millions all over the world of which we're part. That's amazing. Slave or free, we're all given the one Spirit to drink. If we know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning by the fact of His death, His resurrection, the coming of the Holy Spirit to dwell within our lives, we have no option but to be part of His body. You cannot live in isolation. We're part of something very special. So if the church is His body, it has to speak the same language. As who? Jesus. And Jesus speaks the language of God. We have no option. Sorry. So we need to find out what He says. Well, how can we speak God's language? That's impossible. Isn't it? But we have to realize what we are. Very simple, isn't it, this? In practice, it may not be quite so straightforward, because I personally know what I'm like. Maybe I know what some of you are like, I don't know, but I can guess. It doesn't go quite as straightforward as this, does it? But if we realise what we are, do you not know that your body is a what?
A temple.
A temple. What is a temple?
Which contains the presence of God.
Yeah. But it's also a place of worship. So if it's a place of worship, who do we worship in this temple? Well, probably on occasions, you, like myself, have a habit of worshipping myself. Because who comes first? You-hoo. No, not you. I'm sorry, I shouldn't even put that on you, should I? But we do. It's his life. So, don't you know that you are, or your body? Now, in that particular portion of scripture, it's referring to us individually. And literally, our bodies are his temple. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. So, each who is baptized into Christ has the Spirit of God, then is part of the whole, or part of the body of Christ. Therefore, if we realize what we are, that's how we can speak the language of God. For the same Spirit who lived in the Lord Jesus in his earthly journey, lives in who? Us. The fruit of the Spirit is what?
Joy,
love, joy, peace, Do we see that evidenced in the life of Jesus? Yeah. Is that in the same characteristics of the person of God? Yes. It's getting a bit challenging, isn't it? But that's what he says. If we can speak, we then, on that basis, can speak the language of God. Secondly, is by responding to what God's done. Well, what has God done? Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, a verse we all know, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your what? Spiritual act of worship. So if we know what we are, we respond to what God has done by his mercy. All we need to do this morning is to read the first chapter of Romans, right up to which chapter? Those 8 to 10 chapters of Romans, what do we find out? All that he has done for us. It's the wonder of salvation, isn't it? So we come this morning again to be those who meet together as his family, as his church, as his body, to worship, to thank God for his mercy and his grace in our lives. We have a hope for the present and the future. Therefore, we say we respond by offering our bodies. That does not excuse us, because I just put this up. By the way, you can't give your heart to him without giving him your body. You know, he purchased everything. Redemption is the redemption of all that I am, including my body, because one day we're going to have a new one, aren't we? So, we can't give our heart without giving our body. And that's why on earth, in time, we come and he says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice to be his, for his purposes, so we can speak the right language. That's the challenge of God's word, it's the challenge of his love, it's the challenge of his mercy and his grace, and we have much for which to say. So may we, from even today, think about how we respond to people, husbands, wives, family, fellow students, workers, because we need to speak the language which honours and glorifies God. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. We'll just have a word of prayer. And back to Chris as we sing the song. And I know I have, in looking at the word, have to come before the Lord and say, I am not what I should be, but you're gracious. And I want to be what you want me to be on a daily basis in relationship to my family, to those around me, to those who I meet in the street, the store and work, and in the fellowship as people. So individually and corporately we can say, Lord, may we be those who speak your language. A language which will glorify your name and who people will notice and recognize, and they'll recognize Jesus. Oh Lord, we come to you this morning. We're grateful for the challenge of your word, the wonder of your word. We thank you the finality of it in Jesus. And Lord Jesus, thank you that you've come. You died, you rose again from the dead, and you ascended into heaven and poured forth life to the likes of us who were dead in our trespasses and sins. Thank you that we have been restored and are being restored. Thank you that we are part of each other and therefore can live in community. And we pray that will be the case as we are people in this community. I thank you for all you'll do in our lives and in the days ahead. And may this morning we bring all that we are to you to worship you, glorify your name. We thank you and give you praise in your name, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.